listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
We're taking a break from whiskey, though, and talking about my favorite topic, which is gin.
So we have 8 total combos. Gordon's with Publix tonic water and a lime slice. Bombay Sapphire with Jack Rudy's tonic and a dehydrated lime. Nolet with Fever Tree tonic and paper thin sliced of lemon. We have Gordon's with Schweppes, or as I like to say, Schweepies, and a lemon wedge. Tenjaku Gin with Q Elderflower tonic and lime wedge. Botanist with Fever Tree Mediterranean tonic and lime wedge. Beefeater 24 with Fever Tree Light tonic with a fresh lime wedge. And the last one is Plymouth Navy with Whole Foods 365 tonic and a half a wedge of lime squeezed and a lemon twist.
We'll be right back after this break. Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. I'm one of your hosts here at the table. This is good old boy Mike. Joining me for this interesting discussion today is good old boy Sparky.
As part of my work release program, I appreciate you allowing me to participate in this episode.
Is your ankle bracelet fully charged today?
No, but it is chafing a lot.
Well, you know, you gotta put on the white tube socks, you know, to get through that.
I know,
you know,
I always forget that part.
Yeah, you know, anyway.
Fair.
Also joining me here at the table is good old boy Michael.
How we doing?
Well, hopefully you're not wearing an ankle monitor.
No, I soak my ankles in gin and tonic at the end of the day.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Therapeutic.
Oh, man, yeah, I'm telling you, that's a great choice. Also joining us is good old boy Moss.
Mike, thanks to have me back on. I do have to say real quick, I'm disappointed. Last time we got together for gin, you promised you'd wear a dress, and I don't see one today. So
negative, Ghost Rider. It's definitely not going to happen today for sure. Well, I wanted to tell you a little bit more about some of our co-hosts that are here at the table. Michael is a published author of a lot of amazing books featuring a broad range of cocktails. My favorite of his is called Garden to Glass. For sure. You have some other ones, and you're working on a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Hard at work.
Also has his own podcast called Liquid Gold. So if you get tired of us, go over and check out some of his episodes in the back catalog. It's a different twist with a similar theme.
We did some gin stuff. We did a big martini episode. That's a lot of fun if you want to know all about that one.
One olives or two olives? No olives.
Olives, I don't know if you'll have to cut this out. Olives are like nipples. One's not enough. Two's just right. Three's kind of weird.
That's interesting. All right. So I'm sure I'll get a few phone calls from the ombudsman about that. So again, I'm like, dude, seriously, do you have me on speed dial? So he also runs a food and beverage program at a distillery and just gets to eat great food all day long. I think that's really just your only, you know, I think that's what keeps you around for that job. Is that it?
Just checking the fries.
They just feed you well. I think that's the whole point.
That's
for sure.
Yep.
Sparky keeps his tribe alive in line on a routine and regular basis and helps to raise a bunch of money serving a lot of people in the tribe, as well as just, do they sell like the emergency, you know, unleavened bread packets that you just, it's like, you know,
Yeah, the great thing about them, Mike, is they never go stale. It's kind of amazing. It's been a couple of thousand years.
So you're saying when the end of the earth comes, that's what we're going to have in the fallout shelter. Correct. Is unleavened bread crackers.
It's basically manna from heaven.
Cool. Moss is the executive director of a wonderful nonprofit organization in Nashville called Whiskey House Nashville. We are actually here recording live at the Whiskey House Nashville today. I want to thank them so much for hosting us. And we get to do a lot of cool things with whiskey every day here, don't we, Moss?
It is very, very fun. One of my favorite things to do is your whiskey history classes you do over here.
Yeah, thanks. We're taking a break from whiskey, though, and talking about my favorite topic, which is gin. Our sip segments are all about wine, mezcal, whiskey, scotch, and today we are going to be discussing gin. But before we get going, I think I'll just have another because I can't think of anything better to do than that. That's for sure. While we all have that lazy, thoughtless beverage that is like a comfort blanket for our livers, like scotch and soda or whiskey with a splash of water or highball of any type or vodka with, well, more vodka. And then there's rum and coke and today's topic, which is gin and tonic. Oh, we'll talk about a way to elevate this classic beverage and just keep that liver, oh, so cozy. Each host has submitted their two favorite gin and tonic combos. And we've rated and ranked these to talk about why we made the choices that we did. And Moss is going to tell us about that lineup for this episode.
So we have 8 total combos today, including gin, tonic, with a garnish. Those include Gordon's with Publix tonic water and a lime slice, Bombay Sapphire with Jack Rudy's tonic and a dehydrated lime, Nolet with Fever Tree tonic and paper thin sliced of lemon. We have Gordon's with Schweppes, or as I like to say, Schweepies, and a lemon wedge. Tenjaku Gin with Q Elderflower tonic and lime wedge. Botanist with Fever Tree Mediterranean tonic and lime wedge. Beefeater 24 with Fever Tree Light tonic with a fresh lime wedge. And the last one is Plymouth Navy with Whole Foods 365 tonic and a half a wedge of lime squeezed and a lemon twist.
I had to make it complicated.
Beat the Holy Grail!
This is supposed to be easy, Mike.
Yeah. Jason, you're going to tell us what we're going to do today with all this.
All right. Well, we may not get to all of these today, but we're going to post the rankings and ratings on the show notes, and we're going to go over these various products and then give them our globally recognized opinions. And we'll be rating these combos with our Sip Suds and Smokes Sips ratings from 1 to 5, with 5 being just the best, plus our signature sounds. So, for example, say it was a 3, that would be...
Interesting.
Interesting. What was that again?
If you're a gin newbie or maybe just intimidated by tonic and gin versus gin and tonic, well, fret not. We've got you covered on our Gin 101 episode where all of this gin speak will be decoded. Just search for Sip Suds Gin 101 and that episode should pop right up, or follow the link on our show notes. Also, don't miss our blockbuster hit episode, The Big Gin Taste-Off.
The Big Gin Taste-Off.
Featuring a global taste-off of 500-plus gins down to our top 10. Maybe some of those cast members got a merit badge patch for that new skill they acquired.
Mine was nice.
I could feel my liver from the outside of my body, and I'm not sure that's okay.
Was it the liver first aid? Was that the name of the merit badge we should have come up
that's
with?
That's what it was, yeah.
I still have all my merit badges.
There's bits of liver in that badge.
Well, I would speculate that I've probably easily had over 5,000 gin and tonics. That's not a goal. That's just the number. It's like ordering water with lemon twist for me. You know, it's just so simple. One of my many failings is that I've been trying to figure out the best of something, no matter what it is. A lot of trial and error, and then I change something up, and then repeat and rinse and do it over and over and over. And it's become a bit of an intake process here for gin at Sip Suds and Smokes. Really fortunate. Distillers send us probably 50 new gins, you know, every year, and I actually use the same process for tasting every single one of those. I actually have it neat, then I have it with a touch of water, then I have it in a gin and tonic of some kind, usually one of these recipes, and then maybe another cocktail. So I'll also end up that my tasting reference is really close to that London dry style with just a splash of tonic. Or if I'm ordering at a bar and that evil, evil soda gun, I actually lean over to the bartender and I go, dude, seriously, let this be a gin beverage with a splash of tonic. Mm. No need to ruin the gin while we're at it. So, you know, how many times do you guys order at a bar and it's like...
I'm pretty at bars. I never get gin and tonics. I always do it at home. And but yeah, they love to press those buttons. I mean, don't we all? It's pressing buttons. How can you not?
It's like, you know, plus, you know, there's so many other things coming out of that soda gun. It's like,
that's the thing. Don't overthink it. It was tomato juice.
I ran cocktail bars for 10 years, and, you know, that same gun has got Dr. Pepper, Coca-Cola, Sprite, all this stuff coming out of it. And whatever the last thing was, when they go to splash some water in there, soda water, you're going to get a little bit of that Coca-Cola in there. So
that's how they make the mystery flavored dum-dums. It's whatever was left in the line when they switch flavors. Seriously, it sounds basically the same thing.
Well, we'll be right back right after this break. Hey, welcome back to this episode of Sips, Suds, and Smokes today. On this Sips episode, we are talking about gin.
Seek the Holy Grail!
That's right. And we're talking about our favorite combinations for making really good gin and tonics. Our hosts have all put together two combos that they are, it's kind of their go-to standard. We've ranked and rated those, and we're going to go through those in our order. Moss is going to give us a bit of background about gin and tonic and where in the heck did this come from?
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I was actually asked to do an English accent in honor of the gin we're doing today. But if it's okay with you, Mike, to avoid ear bleeds, I'm going to stick with my Southern accent. The origins of this mixture are disputed, as with anything that goes back in time, with a lack of records and oral history stepping in to fill in these gaps of facts. There are numerous stories about the origin of gin and tonic, and many center around the use of tonic water to stave off malaria. Tonic water contains quinine, derived from the bark of the cinchona tree, which is a common treatment for the illness and also gives tonic water its bitter taste. One of the first known instances of gin being mixed with tonic water was in Holland in the 1840s to combat malaria. The British Army in India also started using tonic water with quinine in it from the 1850s to fight the disease, both as a preventative and actually as a cure as well. So in order to effectively treat malaria, the concentration of quinine in the tonic water would have to be 5 to 10 times larger than that of a modern tonic water. As you can imagine, the result of this would be a very bitter-tasting liquid. Therefore, another sweeter-tasting drink that would be needed to be mixed with it to make it more palatable for soldiers to taste. So initially, brandy, whiskey, or rum were used. The Royal Navy preferred to use rum mixed with the tonic water to stop their crew from falling ill from malaria.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the part about this story that makes a lot of sense to me of what crossed this over into gin. So you have Genevieve that, you know, originated and is really kind of the precursor to modern day, you know, gin. So it makes a lot of sense that this probably came right along with that evolution, you know, between the two.
And wasn't Genevieve barley-based spirit rather than like a regular...
And Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that you had a lot of sugars that were flowing through because Genevieve is quite a bit sweeter than, you know, most gins. And I think that they were looking for something, you know, in balance, you know, that was going to go along with some of those sugars. And I'm betting that that was probably the first combo was actually with Genevieve and tonic, not with gin. Mm-hmm. So I think that the two just kind of moved along in some evolution and then crossed over, you know, into, you know, across the English Channel. And so, you know, so much more of that juniper actually came along with a lot of the British colonies and the ability of getting those ingredients a lot cheaper. I think that's the reason why that really kind of moved into, you know, a standard. Probably taxed it a lot lower, too.
It's always about taxes.
Yeah,
I just always joke when I'm walking down the street, you know, I don't need to worry about malaria today, folks. I've packed up with gin and tonics.
Well, I actually have the first combo for us to go over today. Well, I didn't plan it that way. It just kind of came out that way. But I'm really honored to talk about one of the combos that I put forward first, which is we're going to do these from one to whatever number. So you don't have to listen to the whole episode to get to number one. I know you're lazy. You just tell me the number one, then you're not going to listen to the rest of the episode. I hope you do, because we'll probably have something entertaining, you know, to talk about. It is the Beefeater 24 Fever Tree Light Tonic, a fresh lime wedge is the combo that we're going through for number one. Now, I've had such a long time with a Beefeater. I really love this. It was in our top five for the Big Taste Off, Big Gin Taste Off.
It made me so happy.
I'm just, you know, I'm sorry. I could just have Beefeater, you know, neat. I could have it in a cocktail, you know, just all day long. And so when this elevated version of Beefeater came around, I was like, I wonder what this is going to be like. So the main component that they have in Beefeater 24 is green matcha tea.
Really?
Yeah, that's okay. One of the big, you know, components in that elevated version of Beefeater that is very distinctive. And the juniper gets kicked up, you know, dramatically in this. And so I was like, first time I had it, I was like, oh, yeah. My liver just went, yeah, I just like this. So there's a couple of key things that I did in making this particular combo. I wanted to actually back off the sugars, and I really wanted it to be a juniper bomb all the way. And I just love killing brain cells with this combo. You know, I have it in a short rocks glass. I have it in a tall tea glass. I have it in a pitcher. I don't care. I personally like it with crushed ice. And the thing that I love about this is, whether it's the first one I'm making or the eighth one I'm having for that day, they're all really good. So it's just like a combo I can't seem to screw up, you know, at all. So I really love that. What'd you guys think about this combo?
I enjoyed it. I'm a Beefeater freak myself. One time when Beefeater Crown Jewel was still around, I was on a cruise and I saw it in the duty free shop.
You know, it's $800 a bottle now.
Well, I'm down to my last one. So
it's crazy.
But I literally bought an extra piece of luggage just to fill with that, and somehow customs didn't pick me out. But yeah, had they would have gotten an entire suitcase full of Beefeater. But well,
you have that look about you.
I do.
You know, I'm honest. Don't stop
me. Yeah. Why would you come for me? No, I really enjoy it. You know, I will say that I'm not as big a fan of the Fever Tree Light. I get it all the time from my wife. It's not bad, but there's just something that kind of puts me off a little bit.
Interesting, yeah. Huh? And that was a key decision I made between making it with regular Fever Tree, was, again, about backing off those sugars. I felt like it was getting in the way of the gin.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Michael, what'd you think about this?
Yeah, I really like this one. Beefeater is like a standard for gin. You know, we've made gin at our distillery, and Beefeater's one that you use as like a, you know, a control or something, or, you know, a good
a
starting
standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's always been kind of a masterful gin. So I really like that the Fever Tree Light Tonic, you know, didn't really try to take too much away from the flavor. So that's why I think this one was really nice.
How about it, Moss? Mm-hmm.
I think this is a great example of a gin just across the board. And with those teas in there, you really get those kind of dry tannins. And I can see where you're coming. You start putting sugar on top of that, it'll probably get in the way. But I really can't say enough about it. I really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it last time I had it. Actually, I think the last time I had Beefeater 24 was with you, actually. So,
well, we'll always have another of that for sure. Our sips rating for this is going to be a 4.
That's classified.
And something really great to get out of the chute. I'm going to introduce the next product and let Michael talk about it. Our number two pick is the Botanist Fever Tree Mediterranean and the Lime Wedge, which good old boy Michael brought.
Yeah, I love this one. Botanist is one of my favorite gins. That's one that's usually on my bar at the house. You know, made in Scotland. Has a lot of those islay botanicals, Mm-hmm. So it's both complex and not, you know, too complicated. So I think it's just a perfect gin. The Fever Tree Mediterranean is, there's a lot of flavor there. So I just feel like this is like the flavor bomb gin and tonic. And then if you have like other cooking herbs at your house, rosemary would be perfect.
Hey, we'll be right back after this break. Hey, welcome back to Sip Suds and Smokes. Today on our Sips episode, we are going over our top gin and tonic combos. And what a great discussion we're having so far. We just got through talking about Beefeater 24, Fever Tree, Light Tonic. And we were going in our number two choice, which is the Botanist with Fever Tree Mediterranean with the Lime Wedge. And Michael was introducing that for us.
Yeah, I love that one. As I said, just a big flavor bomb of a gin and tonic. Lot of complexity with the Botanist gin. Similar to the Fever Tree Mediterranean, it's got a lot of different flavors that you wouldn't always associate with tonic water. Some different kind of herbaceous notes, kind of almost not too sweet, but maybe like a saline element. It's very full tasting tonic water. And we might get into Spanish gin and tonics later where you can add a bunch of different botanicals. I think this would be a good candidate for that. You could add like rosemary, thyme, anything that you have around that you might use for cooking, I think would be great for this one. But yeah.
Moss, what do you think about this one?
You know, as a cocktail bartender by trade, the Botanist is the perfect example of something that a cocktail bartender would look for to keep behind the bar. It covers all your bases. What I really like about the Botanist is you can drink it neat right now and you'll be like, this is fantastic. And you can put it in anything. You put it in a gin and tonic, you can put it in a Brambler, you can put it in a Clover Club, and it'll be great. It's just a really, really good across the board, solid gin.
Yeah, I think one of the things I love about Botanist is they sell it in a 3-liter bottle now.
Saw that.
What? Giant. With a handle, yeah.
I was going to say it has like, a luggage cart that you carry out on.
Finally, somebody has understood the real problem at hand here. Sparky, what do you think about this?
I'm a big fan of the Botanist. I honestly had not had Fever Tree Mediterranean until this, but it was a really, really great pairing. Michael, you knocked out of the park on this one, man.
I had not had this particular combo before as well. I've had Botanist, you know, quite a bit, but I think the that Mediterranean tonic water choice, to me, I thought rounded things out. And I really think that the juniper is very forward in the Botanist, and I really enjoyed the balance that, you know, the tonic was bringing here to the equation. I think probably the one rendition I made was I actually did not put enough tonic into it. Remember, I tend to let the gin speak for itself.
Right. Look at the bottle of tonic.
And I found myself that as it diluted down, it actually got a lot better. So the second time I made it around, I actually added more tonic and probably drank it faster. And I actually enjoyed that change up a bit more. I think that let the Mediterranean tonic, you know, really kind of balance things out a lot bit better. So really great combo. Our Sips rating for the Botanist Fever Tree Mediterranean with a Lime Wedge is a 4.
That's classified.
Next up is actually going to be the other choice that Michael brought to the table, which is Tenjaku. Tell us about this one.
This one was a little bit different from our previous, you know, big boy gin and tonic. The Tenjaku gin, Japanese gin, very soft. It's complex, but you have to kind of get into it. There's a lot of stone fruit, some yuzu that they use in it. And similar to the Beefeater 24, I know they also use some Japanese green tea. So I really love that gin. It is lighter. It's not going to hit you over the head with juniper, but it's got a really nice blend of ingredients that you don't get in a lot of gins. So paired that with the Q elderflower, which is a kind of a lighter tonic water. So I just thought this was a really beautiful mix of two, you know, sort of light but complex and tasty beverages.
So Japanese gin is like a highly underrated, you know, category, you know, and when I am talking about, you know, Japanese, you know, whiskey products, you know, I always tell everybody, I always feel like I am underdressed the whole time I'm actually drinking. I'm like, I just want to stand and bow and go, hi, you know, and just, you know, there's this reverence I have for, the quality of, you know, the spirits that they make. And that's true of the gins as well. In fact, one of the products that made our top five in the Big Gin Taste Off was Kenobi. And, you know, what a fantastic and wonderful product that is. I wish it was a little more affordable, but it is really an amazing, you know, gin.
Yeah, that was an evil tease, by the way, to put me through 500 bottles and then get down to the top five that I'll never be able to buy again.
I guess the one thing with this combo, Mike, though, that I thought the elderflower was fighting with the gin, you know, from on the aroma side of the equation. And so, I think that I goosed around with, you know, the proportions that I was doing. And I just, it felt like the whole time, I just felt like the tonic was screwing up the gin itself, you know. And I actually, I was like, wow, this combo, not quite it. I really love the gin, you know, itself. Yeah, and I thought it worked well with other tonics. But I don't know, for whatever reason, the elderflower is just fighting with it, you know, aromatically.
Q is probably my favorite tonic water. But like a lot of the tonic waters, maybe they've just made too many flavors at this point.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, but the original Q, the regular Q, I think is great for gin and tonics, especially when you want to taste the gin, because I think of a lot of their stuff as a little lighter and milder.
Moss, are you underdressed for this one?
I'm underdressed every day for everything. Welcome to Tennessee. I actually do agree with him on the Q. I think at just about every bar that I've ran, we carried Q for our tonic water. It's solid. And look, if somebody's coming in for a gin cocktail, they want to taste the gin. So let the gin do the work.
Not the soda gun. Yeah, for sure. All right, well, our rating for the Tenshaku Gin with Q Elderflower and a Lime Wedge is also going to be a 4.
That's classified.
Really great combo. Thanks, Mike. Really solid start. You nailed, you know, 2 out of, you know, the top 3, so that's definitely saying quite a bit.
It's like he knows what he's doing.
It's like I've been drinking gin and tonics.
And hang on to your hat, because you're never going to guess what made our number 4 slot is actually the Gordon's, Schweppes, and a Lemon Wedge. And this is what Moss brought to the table. So very interesting. I have a lot to say about this. Tell us why you put this combo together.
You know, Gordon's might not be your favorite, and it might be your favorite, but one of the great things about it is it's very affordable, and you can find it literally anywhere.
It's a 5-liter handle.
Yeah.
Yes. $12.99 for a handle at my local store. It's like getting paid to drink gin. I don't understand the economics.
I'm starting to pick up a pattern with you, Mike. The size of the bottle is...
With gin, it's everything.
Yeah.
So... With Gordon's, getting that really, really good price and also getting something that is approachable and of good quality is really, really nice. And according to Diageo, it's the best-selling gin in the world. So now whether or not that's true, I'll leave that up to you guys to figure out. But a lot of old history, too. I think it's about a 250-year-old company.
Yes, I think they claim to originate making gin. And I know that's not true, but it's a nice marketing story for sure, yeah.
It'll do the trick. But yeah, I think that's my main selling point is just the fact that, you know, you can get a nice, approachable gin for a really, really good price. And again, you can find it anywhere, any type of package store, any liquor store, anywhere. And then, you know, buckled in with that Schweppes, which is another, that's a tonic water you can find anywhere. This is your value right here. If we're talking about value today, it's this one right here. And I think it goes really, really well with that lemon. So...
One of the more surprising comments was actually from Craig, who was on a previous gin episode with us. And he is just like, you know, a savant when it comes to gin. And we were all talking about some of our favorite gins. And he was like, well, Gordon's is my favorite. And we were like, no way, you know. And I made this. And the thing that won me over was it's just such a great combo with the lemon. Instead of having a lime wedge, I thought changing out the fruit made a huge difference. We probably have time for one more comment.
No, I was just going to say, I apologized to Mike when he called for my picks, and I said, well, I'm kind of embarrassed, man. It's Gordon's. Don't judge me, man. And he was like, actually, no, it's something else that was brought up in it, too. So, no, I love Gordon's. I keep it around. You know, I don't... I usually use beef eater for my martinis, but Gordon's I just have for everything else. And it's great.
Our rating for this Gordon's Schweppes lemon is going to be a 4. We'll be right back after this break. Hey, welcome back to Sips, Suds, and Smokes. On today's episode, this is a Sips episode. We're covering our favorite gin and tonic combos is what we're going over. We put together 8 different